Walt Disney World vacation.
What's the story with stories at Disney? A fireside chat with a former Disney Imagineer. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 76 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of June 12th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member who really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next trip at no extra cost while making sure you get the best possible deal on your vacation. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. When I think of the things that define how Disney does attractions, how Disney does parks, how Disney does resorts, I think of a few things. I think about an attention to detail, and I think about a focus on quality, but I also think about story. And so today we're going to talk about an interesting topic. What's the story with stories at Disney? A fireside chat with a former Disney Imagineer. And to help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome back to the show Brian Collins. Brian, welcome back.
I am very welcome to be here and turn the page to our next conversation.
I'm looking forward to it. We are here again at Disney's Fort Wilderness, so you hear some background. It's a nice place to talk about story.
It certainly is. You know, I mean, rich theming all the way around here, wherever you look, and definitely, I think, sets the stage for what we're going to be chatting about.
I agree. So what's the story with stories at Disney? So first off, I think some people may have heard about your background before, Brian, but tell us a little bit about what your role was as an Imagineer at Disney.
Right. So I was what was known as a show writer. And when you use that term show writer, it doesn't mean that I wrote shows for Disney. It's talking about the Disney show as a whole. And I would be responsible for writing scripts and spiels for the attractions, coming up with nomenclature for maybe new restaurants or food carts, signage for the parks, any kind of mostly creative or operational writing for the Disney theme parks that needed to be done and resorts that need to be done. That's something that could potentially have come across my plate.
Okay. Probably an interesting job. It sounded like you probably got to get your fingers in a lot of pots in a lot of different areas.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was absolutely a lot of fun. Yeah.
Good. And so why do you think story is so important to how things operate at Disney?
You know, when Walt was building Disneyland and creating his first theme park, if you will, he wanted to do something that was very, very different. I mean, up until that time, you got to remember, you know, what people were used to were like carnivals and fairs and that type of thing. Walt wanted to really kind of go the next level and immerse people in a themed environment. And to do that, the first Imagineers he hired were all people from his movie studios for the most part. And these are people that knew how to craft stories. And so when they were sitting around trying to visualize and envision what Disneyland could be and would be, that's when, you know, I've got to imagine they started coming up with these wonderful ideas for attractions like the Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean and the Jungle Cruise. You know, rides like that had never been created before for family entertainment, for a theme park. And in order to create something like those, he needed people that knew how to tell a story. And I think that's really where the history and legacy of storytelling at Disney and Imagineering storytelling really kind of began. When you look at people like Existencio or Mark Davis, you know, these are guys that created just amazing backgrounds and stories for those attractions. And to this day, they stand the test of time.
It does seem to be one of those things that really sets Disney apart. So I grew up in Ohio near Cedar Point, which is a place where there are some world-class roller coasters, ton of fun. But I go on those and it's a thrill, but it's not right. a storytelling vehicle right. like we see here.
Right. You compare one of those roller coasters or a Coney Island style roller coaster, for example, with, say, Thunder Mountain, and right away you can kind of see the difference, or Space Mountain, you know. Both are roller coasters, but, you know, Thunder Mountain and Space Mountain are more than that. They're immersive experiences that you get into, and they're enhanced by the story that was built up behind it. And, you know, a lot of the times that story, sometimes it's apparent. I mean, certainly, you know, you go to Thunder Mountain and you see the theming and the dinosaur fossils and, you know, the Sulphur Springs and all that stuff, and you kind of get it. But a lot of times, the story, I mean, it starts, all of that stuff is just so carefully planned so far before the time that the public ever gets to see it. And it's just a fascinating process, a fun process, and a super important process, if nothing else.
I was reading an article recently, this is not meant to speak badly about anyone, but about the Broadway show Spider-Man, Turn Off the Darkness.
Right.
And I got to see a little video of that show where they were talking about, or where they were showing, I mean, people flying on harnesses and, you know, amazing colorful sets. But then I read some of the reviews and people said, I just don't get what's going on here. You know, who is this bad guy and why is this bad guy here? And it just didn't make sense. And I thought,
right,
it probably comes back to not having a fleshed out story
right.
at the beginning that
right.
then drives everything else.
Right. If you look at something like The Haunted Mansion or Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, we'll take two classic Disney attractions. Again, one of the reasons they've stood the test of time in that they are so entertaining to go through over and over and over again is because they have a very well-defined story that starts from the time you enter that queue line to the time you exit the attraction. And, you know, again, sometimes that's going to be very apparent to you when you're going through the attraction. Sometimes not, but, you know, you're right. The story in these attractions builds the foundation and the blueprint for everything that follows. And that's why it's so important to have it very well thought out before one brick is ever laid, you know, or one bit of cement is ever poured, or one, you know, piece of steel is put into the attraction. You've got to have that story to kind of guide you. And, you know, at Disney, the idea of story isn't just limited to attractions. I mean, it extends into complete environments. If you look at New Disney Springs, for example, how they took Pleasure Island had its own story, and they transformed that into Disney Springs, which it is now, completely, very, very obviously, very different story behind that. But that dictates everything from the fixtures to the environmental paints, the signage, the graphics. I mean, everything out there is, you know, founded in the whole story of what Disney Springs is, how it came to be, where it's from. And like I said, a lot of times the public doesn't see those fine details, but they help bring it all together in a very coherent, strong way. And it's a very, very necessary part. And it's, you know, sometimes it sounds easier than it is. I mean, you know, a lot of people think, well, you can just sit down around a table and come up with a storyline for an attraction or an environment, you know, in a pretty quick, you know, session. But let me tell you, I mean, there's a lot of detail and forethought and expertise that goes into building those storylines. And it's one thing that makes Disney, I think, so successful.
Yeah, and something not easy to do.
No.
So when we talk about story, do you see that there's something written down where it says, you know, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Right.
Is it a linear story that's
right.
told like you would read in a book? Is it more
right.
a theme and an idea? How have you normally seen
the story
come to life?
You know, it can be any of those things. I mean, it's not always a linear thing. Sometimes it is. Is it written down? A lot of times, yes, it is. Again, maybe not necessarily for the general public to see, but certainly for the designers and the Imagineers to work from. I mean, they have to have a clear idea when, you know, moving into, let's say, the Disney Studios, the Great Movie Ride, for example, a lot of those attractions out there, Eric Jacobson was one of the Imagineers who had his fingerprint in a lot of those attractions, and he did a lot of work, if I'm not mistaken, on the Great Movie Ride. So, you know, came up with the wonderful storyline and story of that attraction. And years later, when I came on as a young show writer, they wanted to enhance some of the scenes or freshen up some of the copy. So, you know, it was incumbent upon me to kind of learn what, you know, what the story was behind that attraction. And, you know, if I was going to make any adjustments or changes, I certainly, you know, wanted to make sure that it was going to be done in a way that didn't take away from what was already there. One of the enhancements that I worked on was coming up with storylines for each of the characters in there. There was a gangster character, a bandit character, and the tour guide himself or herself. In each one of those characters, I wrote a backstory for each of them that was given to the cast members that play those roles so that they could read that and have consistency in their performance. And no matter when you went on the Great Movie Ride, what day, or, you know, whoever was working in the attraction that day as those characters, they, you would get a consistent performance because they had this backstory that they knew for each of their characters that they were bringing to their performance. So that's a small example of how, you know, a story finds its way into an attraction in a way that a lot of guests may not necessarily see, right out, but it certainly affects what they're experiencing.
So that's really interesting that you actually worked on some of those things. So do you remember what's some of the material that would have gone into a backstory like that, or some of the information that would be there?
Well, you know, I will tell you, it's not something that I would just kind of sit down and crank out and do myself and say, okay, here's the backstory. I mean, you know, these are very complex stories and very layered stories. The stuff I was writing had to fit into the bigger overall story of the attraction. And that's all done by a team of people. You know, I mean, there's no, you know, certainly there's a small group that will have the vision and bring that vision to the attraction. But beyond that, you know, every art director, every person who does rock sculpting, every person that does writing, every engineer that, you know, designs the twist and the turn, all of that is being done in, typically in a very purposeful way, understanding and knowing what that story background is. So yes, in my case, you know, my assignment may have been to go in and freshen some of that stuff up, and I would go back to my desk and I would come up and write the backstory. But certainly, you know, it's not like I would just write that and hand it off. It would go to my boss, who would, you know, was a senior show producer, and he would look at it and okay it, and then it would, I'm sure, go all the way up, probably, you know, since it's a Great Movie Ride, still probably all the way up to Eric himself, you know, had to have buy off to make sure everything was you know, done properly and true to what the original vision was.
And Eric, who is Eric? Eric Jacobson,
yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. And so I've often heard there's no great big book of Disney Imagineering, a single source where all of these stories are recorded.
No.
Is that true?
Yeah, no. There's that'd be kind of cool. That'd be a great book to have. there are a couple books, actually. Another former Disney Imagineer, a guy by the name of Jason Sorrell, wrote a couple of wonderful books on the history and story behind The Haunted Mansion, and a second one for Pirates of the Caribbean, and I'm pretty sure you can still find those out there on Amazon. But I would highly recommend, they're wonderful books filled with all kinds of pictures and illustrations, and Jason got to interview a lot of, like, the legends who actually created those storylines, and you know, if anyone is interested in some wonderful Disney insight and history, his books on Haunted Mansion and Pirates of the Caribbean are wonderful.
And so if there is no great big book of Disney Imagineering, how do these stories live, or where do you figure out what the story is, especially on the inside of the company?
Right. Well, I mean, some of it certainly is going to be passed down, you know, from Imagineer to Imagineer, if you will, from generation to generation. I mean, some of it certainly is documented. I mean, there are places where you can go and you can find backstory information on the attractions. So I think it's just a combination of those two. You know, there are a lot of guys who have been with WDI for a long time that really understand that history very, very well. And, you know, that's why, you know, you've got some of these, you know, senior producers who just do amazing things, and they try and, you know, make that information available as needed.
And do you have any favorite stories yourself, ones that you just enjoy from the park, or ones that you got to work on when you were with Disney Imagineering?
You know, I'll tell you a really cool story. That there's a time when I had to be out in Glendale at WDI's offices for work, and as I was walking through, I came through the lobby, and they happened to have an exhibit of artwork, conceptual artwork for Pirates of the Caribbean and for the Haunted Mansion. Hmm. And these were early conceptual sketches for those attractions. And I was kind of, I remember for me, it was the end of my day. I was kind of rushing out because I had to, it was my last day. I had to go catch my flight. But I wanted to stop and check out this artwork. And the lobby was pretty empty, but there was an older gentleman and his wife who were sitting there admiring these pictures as well. And as I, was looking at him, he walked over and he said, "You like the drawings?" I said, "Yeah, they're great." You know, and I turned around, and it was none other than Mark Davis himself.
Hmm. Wow.
And I almost dropped my teeth.
And for the folks at home, tell us who Mark Davis is.
So Mark Davis was one of the legendary nine old men, one of Walt Disney's core Imagineers and animators. And he actually designed and did the story, came up with the story for Pirates of the Caribbean and for the Haunted Mansion. And these were his sketches that he had made when he was a younger Imagineer. And he was admiring them for the first time, he told me, in years. He hadn't seen those. And there they were on display as pieces of art, which he never would have imagined, I don't think, at the time.
Yeah.
But it was just so cool, you know, to have been there and bumped into him at the same time he happened to be there, you know, kind of checking out his own exhibit.
A Disney legend in all senses of the word, I guess, and someone who worked directly with Walt. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry to interrupt your story. Go on.
No. So that's pretty much, and his wife, Alice Davis, is also a Disney legend and very well known in her own right.
Yeah.
Within the Disney company. So, yeah.
Good. Wow, great. I love hearing those stories from you, of your time inside the company and the perspectives that you bring. So thanks for sharing those, Brian.
Yeah. And like I say, you know, those guys, I mean, they are the nicest people that you could ever meet, and always willing to work with the younger Imagineers, kind of take them under their wing. And, you know, that's kind of how it works. You know, I mean, you know, now you've got another generation of Imagineers who are doing amazing work building new attractions, and you know, the young guys underneath them are kind of learning from them, and so much of how Imagineering is done is done in that way, kind of like learning from the guys who are the masters and women who are the masters at it.
Yeah.
It's just a wonderful environment.
Something I've thought about recently, maybe we can get your thoughts on it as well, is that there are different takes on stories, I guess. And there's a better way to say that. But I think if you look at Journey of the Little Mermaid, it's something of a retelling of that story. And it doesn't tell all, you know, 90 minutes of what was going on, but you kind of get the beginning to end version. And then if you look at something like Star Tours, it's not necessarily retelling the story of a movie, but it's right. more inspired by what's going on.
Right.
And then you mentioned another example of Disney Springs, which is maybe even a slightly different way of right. thinking about story, not as you would in an attraction. So right. it's been interesting for me to think recently about how story manifests differently in yeah. different ways.
You know, as an Imagineer, I think one thing they look at are people who are just very well-versed in their craft and very diverse in their craft. As a writer, I had to be able to write anything from family-friendly graffiti one day to an operational spiel and technical information to a story background of a Western bandit to maybe even poetry and rhyming. And I think at all levels of Imagineering, that's one thing that they look for are people who are very well versed in their craft and very diverse in their craft. Mm. And that, I think, is, you know, when you've got those kind of people kind of coming together and working together, who aren't so narrow-minded but are able to kind of cross-pollinate, if you will, from other areas, it creates for a very rich environment, and the results can be really kind of fun and sometimes very unexpected.
Good. Well, interesting topic to think about story and how it applies at Disney, a really critical part of what happens here.
Yeah. And, you know, moving forward is, you know, as theme park designers are presented with new technologies and new tools, if you will, to work with, it gives us new ways to develop stories and define stories and tell those stories. And, I mean, the new attractions that are going to be happening out at Disney, whether it's Star Wars or Toy Story or Avatar, I mean, I can't wait to see some of that stuff because I can only imagine, the resources that they're going to have are just going to be phenomenal to continue to tell those stories as well.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say it that way because the technology will change and the people will change, but in the end, it all does come back to that idea of telling a story.
Yeah, sure does. I mean, it sounds like such a simple no-brainer almost, but then again, I don't know if a lot of people really think about it, and at Disney, you know, maybe they're not supposed to. I think, you know, for guests, they're just supposed to enjoy the story and enjoy it and not really think about it so much.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's part of the magic. So.
Well said. Well said. All right, good. Thank you, Brian. So if people are interested in finding out what you're up to, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, they can certainly come visit me on my website, which is wdwithme.com. WDWithMe.com, and on there I've got some blogs, which I probably need to update.
we always have to say that, right?
But also follow me on social media. Come find me on Twitter. You can follow me at WDWithMeBrian, and you can also, on my webpage, there's a link to my Facebook page. WDWithMe is on Facebook, on Twitter. I'm also on Instagram as well. I've got some pretty cool behind-the-scenes photos on there and always trying to put more on there. So that would be the best way. Come find me on wdwithme.com, and I would love to hear from any of you guys. If you want to email me, please do. I'd love to hear from folks and answer your questions.
Great. I always enjoy the material that you publish, and I always learn something new when we're together. So thanks for spending the time with me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
And I think people are breaking out the hula hoops, so it's time for us to go do some hula hooping.
Let's go.
All right.
Make our own stories.
We head out today to the music of The Little Mermaid, and while we've made it through our conversation on what's the story with stories at Disney, our conversation doesn't have to be over. I would love to hear what you think, too. If you'd like to add to our list, you can do that by visiting the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/76. It's a page that works well on tablets, desktops, and smartphones. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people think as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch with me and invite you to follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your friends and your family about it. I'd like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who like Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is pretty cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
Just a dream away. So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream.